A little while ago, we did a series on the Proverbs. Do you remember? We read through it, and it's quite challenging. And I did the last word on Wednesday, the last kind of talk on this, and it was about correction. And there are so many references in the book of Proverbs about correction, about change, about the importance of being corrected. And I pose the question, and I pose it today. Are we open to change? Are we willing to be changed? Do we invite the Lord's correction into our lives? Because the reality is, for all of us, is this: change is here to stay. There was a Greek philosopher that said this. He said, it's the only constant thing in life, change. Why? Well, change happens because culture changes, doesn't it? Culture is constantly changing. And I think it's a real challenge for us as a church, isn't it? Which bits of culture do we allow to influence us? And which bits of culture actually should not influence us? What about circumstances? Boy, we've seen that this year, haven't we? Circumstances causing us and making us have to change. Who'd have thought? You know, stood here in this place 2020, that I'd be stood here the way I am in 2021, having to speak, you know, in the way we do online and a few folks here. It's been an amazingly challenging and demanding year. Circumstances have meant we've had to change. But what about this one, the reason why we change? The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, I believe, is advancing. It's growing, it's increasing. You know, Jesus tells stories, doesn't he, about the kingdom of God is like yeast working its way through a batch of dough. You know, that's why the first point in Arise is the kingdom is advancing, which means if the kingdom is advancing, then we have to be ready to change so that we don't hinder that advance. We don't always have to change. It's got to be a choice on our part. And let's be honest, I'm talking about the church generally here, but I'm sure we've been guilty of this at times. The church has not always been very good at embracing change. Sometimes, personally, maybe corporately, we get stuck. Sometimes we get scared. Sometimes we get a bit self-satisfied. We get very content. Sometimes we get a bit set in our ways, a bit unteachable. Now, there's a lot of change about at the moment, isn't there? You know, we're changing our name as a church, and I know our friends in St. Austell are having the same conversation at this time. Why are we changing it? Well, because in the past, the church has, I believe, been organized and structured by denominational affiliation, but now, although we see the real value in being part of this Baptist family of churches, that doesn't change. We're still very much connected and affiliated to that family of churches. But the focus of our ministry is not about being Baptist. It's about seeing the kingdom of God advancing in our communities. The name we've chosen simply reflects this. So change is happening in our church, but it's the new year, isn't it? And it's often at times when we, at the very least, we think about change. We make resolutions. Now, I've said this many times in the church before, but the origins that I've read of New Year's resolutions, that's good, isn't it? I nearly is in the Babylon, with the Babylonians. This is ancient people. We read about them in the Bible, don't we? But they used to believe that what you thought on the first day of the year would kind of work out through the rest of the year. So you'd think a positive thought on the first day of the year, and then that would be so for the rest of the year. And from one perspective, they're kind of right, aren't they? It starts with a sort of a New Year's resolution that would hopefully lead to a revolution, and would start with a decision on our part. It starts in the mind. Now, the Bible's got loads to say about the mind, and I was really pleased that Josh put that passage up earlier from 1 Timothy. Let me just read a few. Romans 12:2 is probably one of the go-to verses when we start talking about the mind. So, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What about Philippians 4, verse 8? Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is anything excellent, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Again, in the mind. Isaiah 26, 3. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And then 2 Corinthians 10, I think this is one of the, I think most significant, again, it's a bit like that Romans 12 passage, really important when we're thinking about the mind. Listen to this. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and even lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience with your obedience when your obedience is complete. We take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Again, it's an act of the mind. It's a matter of the mind. Now, I just Googled it, the mind in the Bible, and there were 100 verses. You've had 4. We could just keep going. This is an important area, something the scriptures, the Bible's got a lot to say about. The mind is where the battle begins, isn't it? It's where it then rages, because it's where the motivations behind the first step originates. Does that make sense? The mind is where the battle begins and where it then rages, because it's where the motivation behind the first step originates. But then, let's be honest. You know, we make those decisions to step out in these sort of behaviors or activities on the first day of the year. But it's the mind that often leads us. And I think the mind in cahoots with the flesh normally leads us to step off those, away from those decisions that we've made. It's why there are so many unused gym memberships, unridden bicycles, trainers gathering dust on the bottom shelf of the shoe rack. Memberships to healthy eating plans. So it starts in the mind. So the mind is important, but I think it's that the Babylonian way of deciding it, thinking it on the first day of the year and thinking that it's going to carry on for the rest of the year, it kind of falls short, because it takes more than that. Just often, I think usually, takes more than that kind of one decision on the first day. I believe it's something we've got to work at. And that's why at the beginning of this year, we are going to have 40 days of prayer and fasting. 40 days of prayer and fasting. Why 40? Well, you know, 40 is one of those numbers that appears in the Bible quite a lot of times. 146, I read. Let me just give you a few examples. During Moses' life, he lived 40 years in Egypt and then 40 years in the desert before God selected him to lead his people out of slavery. Moses went on Mount Sinai for 40 days and nights on 2 separate occasions, receiving God's law. He also sent spies for 40 days to investigate the land of promise and the Israelites, the land that was promised the Israelites as an inheritance. Jonah the prophet powerfully warns the ancient Nineveh, the Ninevans, for 40 days that its destruction would come because of their many sins. He called them to repent. And then Ezekiel, this is a fascinating one. Ezekiel laid on his side for 40 days to symbolize Judah's sin. And then Elijah went 40 days without food or water in Mount Horeb. And then Jesus, who was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days, and he fasted for that time right at the beginning of his ministry. He then appeared to his disciples for 40 days after his resurrection from the dead. Basically, this word 40, the number 40, symbolizes, firstly, a significant period of time. It's going to be a lengthy period of time. But then the other thing it also often refers to is testing, trial, or probation, kind of preparation. You know, it's the stuff that doesn't happen quickly, isn't it? It's the stuff that doesn't happen quickly, and it demands a bit of effort from us. That's why we're going to take our time over this. 40 days. I don't want this to be a flash in the pan. I don't want this not to be about him. You know, he is the one who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. And if I want anyone to change my life, I want it to be him. And I want those changes to be about his plans and his purposes for me, not what culture or circumstances or self might dictate. That's why we've combined 40 days with these readings. We really want these things to become part of who we are, not just individually, but as a church too. Now, this, you know, when I say fasting, it's going to look very different for all of us as we kind of embark on this. For some, it may involve abstaining from certain meals or certain foods, or it could involve abstaining from taking a break from certain activities in our life. So I'm not pleased telling you to go off and not eat for 40 days. I'm saying think about your patterns and structures. Think about the things that you do very normally and naturally, and actually saying you want to break those in some ways. And then what happens is you use this as a constant reminder to keep lifting your eyes to Jesus, to keep reminding you that we are new creations. We're going to be talking about that in a few weeks' time on a Wednesday. So we're new creations and we live by the Spirit and not by the flesh. So to be sensible, but be creative about how you do this. But do it for 40 days. We're talking about Monday to Friday. We're giving you a break at the weekends. Monday to Friday. Because when we do it over a period of time, it becomes part of who we are. It's not a flash in the pan. I think that's why the Bible talks about prolonged periods of time, 40 days, 40 years. You might want to use this time to bring something before the Lord that's just on your heart. You know, what we hope is that the theme for each week would be a focus for your prayer and fasting. But at the same time, are there things that you're carrying, burdens that you're carrying, people that you're praying for, situations that you want to see breakthrough in and you want to see the Lord move? And I would encourage you to use this time to really pray into those as well. Maybe encourage somebody to, or ask somebody to pray with you in that, so you've got some accountability in that. I want everyone to do this. I really do. Because I guarantee it will change you. It will change you. It will have an impact upon your life and your faith. I want to just give you, in this, I've mentioned five things beginning with R. Sorry, it's the Baptist minister in me, you know. It's five things beginning with R, and I just want to talk about them because I think they'll help us as we fast and pray and really get these things embedded in our lives. The first one is recognize. Sorry, it's not. The first one is reflect. I jump down the page then. And I want us to take a real honest look at our hearts and the condition of our hearts before the Lord. Think about where you're at with a particular focus for that week. Or maybe just think about where you're at with what God is bringing to your mind. What do you believe? What is your experience? What would it look like for you to really take hold of that particular principle and live according to it? I think this is about holding our hearts before God. This is what David was doing when in Psalm 39 he said, "Search me and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me into the way everlasting." So reflect on your heart and recognize as you bring your heart before for the Lord, your ambitions, your affections, your emotions, your longings. In prayer, name and celebrate the things and the areas where you've grown. Acknowledge where you've moved forward. I think that's really important. Encourage yourself. And let him encourage you. I think journaling really helps. Journaling helps with this. Writing down. But then be honest about the areas where you continue to struggle. The areas where you're fearful or you need to grow. Again, write it down. Write it down. So that's the second one. So we've got reflect, recognize. What about repent? I think this is such an important, and we cannot overlook this area in our lives, individually and in the life of the church. Do you need to change your thinking? Do you need to change the way that you maybe act or behave in certain situations and circumstances? I want to encourage you to think about that. And as you reflect and as you recognize, start to repent. Bring your sorrow over these things. It's called lamenting. It's not God's best for you. So lament, bring your sorrow over these things. But at the same time, bring your willingness to change, your willingness to receive, to go forward, to leave these things, to turn away from these things and take hold of all that he has for you. So that's the third R, repent. But what about this one? What about this one? Revelation. God is speaking all the time, isn't he? God is speaking all the time. We just need to learn how to tune in. We need to learn how to tune in. I want to encourage you to listen, to wait on God, to have his word before you, maybe physically on your phone or even just try and remember it. But have his word before you and wait on him. Really think about what God might be saying to you. What he's saying to us as a church as well, this is important. And if you feel that God is speaking to us as a church, please come and talk to us. Talk to one of the team here. You know, just come and share with us. We want to hear together what God is saying. He might speak to you through the passages that are suggested here. He might give you other areas and other things that he'll speak through. But just listen to him. So the final one. So we've got repent, so we've got reflect, recognize, repent, revelation. But the final one is receive. Invite the Holy Spirit to come and simply minister into what he's saying to you. Something God wants to do. He wants to lavish his love upon you. He wants to. And sometimes we miss out because we just rush on or we don't give him that time or space. So let me encourage you, don't rush this, but come before him, you know, open-hearted and open-handed and say, Lord, I want to receive from you. I want to receive from you. I believe that if we do this consistently throughout this period of focused prayer and fasting, we are not, and I want you to really hear this is important, we're not in some way proving to God through our hard work that we should expect him to move or act. We can't be twisting God's arm or in any way giving ourselves the right to say, well, I've done my bit, now you do yours. That's not what this prayer and fasting is about. It's not what it's ever about. This is what it's about, okay? And I've got three here, but there are so many more we could mention. We're simply, and it is this simple, positioning ourselves in a posture so we can experience and know God's pleasure, his presence, his grace, and his favor, whatever the circumstances you find yourself in right now. So that's the first thing. The second thing is this, and this is really important. We're going to come on to this when we start thinking about living from the inside out. We are living in greater authority over the world, the flesh, and the devil. We're living in greater authority over the things that can so easily have authority or take hold of us. We're living from the inside out, from the spirit within. And finally, we are giving God space to speak. We're shutting out some of the voices. We are giving him space. We're intentionally putting ourselves in a position or a posture where our hearts and our ears are turned to him. And we're going to do that for 40 days. And what I believe as we do it over a period of time, it will change the way that we are. It'll impact our faith. It will make a difference. So let's go on this journey together, shall we? Are you up for it? 40 days. But let's see what God does. What I'd love to do is hear what you feel God is saying along the way. So just keep that coming. If you feel God speaking, then just email into the office or to me or to one of the team. We want to hear what God is saying through this time. We believe this is a significant and important time in our life as we enter into this new chapter of City Life Church, Truro. And I would say, you know, guys in St. Austell, if you want to join us on this journey, you know, you're entering into a new chapter and season in your life as a church as well, as you think about where God is leading you. And so let's see what God does in the coming days. Let's pray together. We'll just position ourselves now. We'll just posture ourselves to receive. We'll just say, Holy Spirit, come. I don't want this to be a good idea. This has got to be a God idea. As we set foot from this place today, we want to walk into this new season, and we want it to be a life transforming, a community transforming period of time for us as a church and churches. So we just invite you, Holy Spirit, come, help us, minister to us now. Just a few moments of quiet and just see what the Lord is saying to you. Just have pen and paper in hand if you want to write something down. Just what is he saying to you about this moment and about the 40 days ahead, about the beginning of this year? So we pray this serious prayer. This prayer that if we follow it through, we believe it and we genuinely seek for God to answer. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Do something new. We know this is going to be a costly thing, potentially, but a beautiful thing too. So we pray as we embark on this 40 days, Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Do something new, something exciting, something, I don't know, I don't even want to sort of put words to it, Lord, but we just say, come, Jesus, bring new wine, that new touch, the experience of your Spirit and your presence with us. Do it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.